In Chapter 3, The Soul in Case 17 described returning to Earth on a vacation trip and running into other discarnates, some of whom were disruptive. This factor, plus not wanting to dilute old, original memories, can dissuade souls from coming back to Earth between lives. There are souls who find this sort of nostalgic trip to be unrewarding and even frustrating out of a physical body. This situation does not apply to those souls who come back to comfort and aid loved ones and are not motivated by a desire for recreation. From what I have observed, it is change that seems to have the biggest impact on the vacationing soul. Many won't return to Earth for recreation between lives because of the day-to-day modernization of the communities they once occupied. In dimensions away from ground zero on Earth, images of places and the people who once lived here are frozen in a timeless vacuum that never vanishes from existence. The patterns of energy particles representing moments in human history can be retrieved at will by souls who are out of absolute physical time. Nonetheless, there are souls who still want to come back for planetary visits, despite the negatives. My next case is one of those souls who enjoys roaming around his old haunts on Earth. Out of a multitude of possible case selections, I chose the next case for personal reasons. The area described is where I grew up, case 49, and I participated in the same activity, which even overlapped in time during the last few years of his life, ending in 1948. As I consider this case, I wonder if I will be imitating this soul's spiritual recreation myself in the 21st century? Case 49, Dr. N, what do you find most enjoyable as a recreational activity between lives? S, I like to come to Earth. Dr. N, where do you go? S, I loved the beaches of Southern California in my last life. So I return to sit on the sand in the sun, walk the beach among the sea, gulls, and be in the surf. My passion are the waves, the feeling of movement and the crashing foam. Dr. N, how can you fully experience all this at the beach without a physical body? S, I take just enough energy with me for the experience but not enough to be seen. Dr. N, I have been told that on many recreation jaunts a soul might take 100% of their energy. What do you do? S, we don't do this on Earth because it would not be fair to scare people. I bring no more than 5%, usually a bit less. Dr. N, are you capable of riding waves? S, laughing, absolutely, why do you think I come? I also soar with the birds and play with dolphins. Dr. N, if you were a spirit sitting on the beach enjoying the sun and I walked past you, what would I see? S, nothing, 1 AM transparent. Dr. N, would that mean if I were strolling along the beach would I just walk through you in your space without sensing your presence? S, well, a few people might sense something but they would probably dismiss this as a figment of their imagination. Dr. N, could you go to other physical worlds to experience what you have described? S, yes, but I loved this area and one have been here in more than one life. That is why I return. For me the sea is part of my soul. I could go to other water worlds, or create all this in the spirit world, but for me this would not be quite the same thing. Dr. N, where are your other favorite spots to play based upon your former lives on Earth? S, around the Mediterranean and Aegean seas. Creation of earthly settlements, the Apaches believe that wisdom sits in places. Since it is possible to create any reality in the spirit world, it is not unusual that some souls wish to spend their off periods in the houses where they lived on Earth. Frequently, these souls prefer to suspend the timeline where they lived in a former life and not expose themselves to huge increases in population and alterations of their old neighborhoods. This is like freezing moments in past time, which souls who wish to spend their recreation time in the spirit world can do. These souls may want to mentally construct an exact duplication of familiar settings around where they used to live, such as the surrounding countryside, parks and streets, and any structures which remind them of their old hometowns. They only have to conjure up these places from memory and use directed energy beams for the images to appear. to fully implement these projects created out of pure energy. The assistance of others may be required. Once in place, they will disintegrate only when the soul loses interest. The bodies souls had during the time when they lived in certain locations are also recreated by them whenever they are in residence. Souls may wish to add their old pets to these scenes, which I will explain more about in the section on animals. I must say that many of the souls who appreciate this sort of recreation are fun-loving and humorous. They might ask their past life friends to come and socialize with them at recreated geographic locations of mutual interest. Soulmates have priority here, as the next quote clearly indicates. My wife Erica and I loved the small house we built in the Bavarian Alps. We wanted it again after death, and so we built it with the help of our energy teacher. He thought it was good practice for us. The model was in my mind and he saw it perfectly before we began the energy transmissions. Additional touches of the exterior came from our friends Hans and Delphi, who lived near our house in Germany and are with us now. The interior furnishings Erica and I did without help. I created my old library and my wife set up her kitchen just as it was. It is wonderful to be alone again with her in this way. People are curious if souls can have intimate physical relations with their recreated bodies. If good sex originates in the mind, then the pure soul has all the benefits without the physical inhibitors. No self-pretense is possible in the spirit world. From what I can gather, there is a loss of full tactile sensation by not being within a dense physical body having a nervous system. At any rate, in the spiritual recreation of a human body, the lack of full sensory sensation is more than made up for by the erotic power of two minds that are completely joined. Love is a desire for full unification with the object of that love. Spirits have the capability between lives of expressing love even more intimately than on Earth. Even so, some souls are still motivated by establishing the scenes of former lives where their love blossomed. Recreating these scenes is meaningful to partners. After all, a major incentive for many souls to reincarnate is the pleasures of physical expression in biological form. Animal souls. I remember delivering a speech in downtown New York City, and during the question and answer period a woman in the front row issued me the following challenge: do you believe cats have souls? I responded with, are you a cat owner? While the woman hesitated for a moment, a friend sitting next to her smiled and held up four fingers. Of all the animal lovers in the world who are interested in this question, I have to be most careful of those owning cats. One told the woman in Manhattan that since I have never hypnotized a cat, I can't personally attest to cats having souls. This did not make her happy until I added that some of my clients declare they do see animals in the spirit world between their lives. The world's religions have long debated whether animals possess souls. Eastern religions, such as Judaism, say animals' souls are equal to those of humans. In Judaism there are different levels of the soul, with the lowest being animals and the highest humans. Muslims hold that animals do have spirits, but those souls are not immortal because animals cannot rationally choose between heaven and hell. The Christian religions reserve the eternal soul only for righteous human beings. Pet owners who interact with their animals project much of their own spiritual energy toward these creatures, which is reciprocated in different ways depending upon the type of animal and its personality. Do these traits represent a soul? We know that animals think, but we are not sure of the degree of that thought. Dogs are protective, cats are resourceful, and dolphins have complex speech patterns. Does any sort of rational thought, or the lack of it, establish a criteria for animals having souls? Anyone who has pets will tell you that animals have individual personalities, feelings, and even a sense of the needs of their owners. We know animals provide comfort during our bereavement and physical illnesses. Pets have the capacity to lift our spirits and foster healing while providing us with love and companionship without reservations. For those people who think that animals are mere sentient beings who only have instinctual sensations, I would say that if animals have thought perceptions, then they have individualized energy at some level. My subjects report that every animal has its own particular classification of intelligent energy, and human souls don't move up and down the ladder from one form to another. These energy particles range from complex life forms, as in the case of chimps, to the simple structures. Despite the repudiation of transmigration by my subjects, perhaps all organic and inorganic matter projects vibrational energy on Earth and probably relates to one another in a purposeful way. I have been told by clients who have had connections with a variety of animals in the spirit world that all of them do indeed have some sort of soul energy. They are not like human souls and also differ from one another. After death, the energy from these animals reportedly exists in different spheres from that of the human soul. To the person in trance, spheres are spaces, each having their own specific patterns and functions. I have had a number of informative reports about animal souls in the spirit world. My next case is a good example from a subject whose name is Kimo. Case 50, Dr. N. Kimo, what do you like to do for recreation? S. Frankly, 1 a.m. a rather quiet, unsocial soul and I enjoy doing two things. I garden and play with animals during the time I am away from my group. Dr. N, do you actually grow things in the spirit world? S, creating living things from energy is one of our important exercises here. Dr. N, tell me about playing with the animals. S, I have a dog and cat as well as a horse. These are my pets from the last life. Dr. N, do they just appear when you want them? S, no, I must call for them as they don't normally live in our spaces here. I can't go to their place. An animal caretaker brings them to me. We call them trackers. Dr. N, meaning the tracker has to find your pet and not one created out of energy, as you might do with a plant in your garden? S, absolutely. Dr. N, do animals have souls, Kimo? S. Yes, of course they do, but in many varieties. Dr. N. What is the difference between animal and human souls? S. The souls of all living things have different properties. Animal souls have smaller particles of energy, less volume and are not as complex and multifaceted as the human soul. Dr. N. What other differences do you know about between the souls of humans and that of animals? S. The main difference, other than size and capacity, is that animal souls are not ego-driven, they are not overwhelmed by identity issues as we are. They also accept and blend with their environment rather than fighting to control it like human beings. Stops and then adds, we can learn from them. Dr. N. You said that animal souls had their own domain in the spirit world. How then are you able to associate with them even with the help of a caretaker soul? S. Perplexed with me. They have sensory energy on Earth like us, we share their physical existence, so why not the mental? Dr. N. Well, Kimo, you did say they have a different arrangement of properties than our intelligent energy. S. So do my plants. But I am not denied their company if I wish it. Dr. N, you mentioned that you play with your dog. Can plant energy become dog energy? S, no, because each form of life does have its own assortment of energy. This energy does not cross the line into another physical form on the same planet. Dr. N, does this mean a cat won't transmigrate into a higher form of life and a human being will not become a lower form, say in the body of a cat, in a future life? S. Yes, that's right. Energy is created and assigned to certain physical and mental forms. Dr. N. Why is that, do you think? S. Laughs at me. I don't know about the grand design here, except that mixing soul types is not expedient. Dr. N. Tell me, Kimo, do you see the animal souls of your pets in groups such as that of your own soul group? S. Like I said, I don't go to their places. They have no need to call for us to come to them. I can't tell you about these areas except to say the animal caretaker told me there is a general division of land, air and water groups. Dr. N. Are any connected with each other in the spirit world? S. It is our understanding that whales, dolphins and seals are together, crows and hawks, horses and zebras, that sort of thing. Animals have their own connections with community bonding by general species that we are not supposed to understand, at least I don't. Dr. N. Well? S. breaks in, I guess if we needed to know we would be told. Dr. N. Okay, now let's go back to your original statement about playing with your pets during recreation time. Could you have a wild animal such as a wolf? S. Only if the wolf was domesticated. Dr. N. Can you explain this to me, Kimo? S. Subject frowns in concentration. The associations with animals need to be productive in certain settings for us to be motivated to work with certain life forms. My dog on Earth can be with me within my spiritual property where I built my house and garden because it is natural for him to be here. He belongs with me because we were bonded playmates. Our mutual love and respect for each other on Earth is being renewed because it is good. There is beauty in this for both of us, this must be why it is permitted. Dr. N., could you differentiate between the soul of a domesticated animal on Earth and one that was wild? S., I think so. As I said, animal souls are much less complicated than human souls. The domesticated ones are able to extend love and affection to humans, which we need. The wild animal souls are not as focused in this area and don't understand us very much at all. Most cannot be constrained, and shouldn't be, just because we share the same environment. Dr. N., do you think there is more need for freedom with the wild animal? S., maybe, but the souls of all living things, especially us, require freedom of expression. With a domesticated animal soul, they are more willing to give up some freedom to bond with humans in exchange for love, affection and protection. There is a symmetry in having pets. Dr. N., Kimo, you make this sound as if domesticated animals are on Earth to serve humans. S., it is a mutual benefit exchange, like I told you. Those of us who love animals on Earth believe we can communicate with our pets in small ways. When we return to the spirit world and see our pets again, each of us in a pure soul state, this becomes more evident. Dr. N., does everyone in the spirit world feel as you do about animal souls? S., many do not have my love for animals. I have friends here who have no wish to interact with animal energy, even some who connected with animals on Earth. They have other activities during their recreation time, stops and then adds, this is their loss. Animal caretaker souls appear to be specialists in the spirit world. It is not a popular specialty among my clients, but their work is much appreciated by pet lovers. These caretakers are not considered to be zookeepers. I once asked a subject who was knowledgeable of the skills this specialty required about my old basset hound, Socrates, a much-loved family pet for 15 years. My question was that if my soul mind could create a house and a physical body for myself between lives, could I conjure up my dog? I was told the following, you could do this if you were advanced enough in their creation of energy. But even if you had this ability, your dog would not be quite as real as a professional could do for you. An animal caretaker soul has the skill to track and find the spark of soul energy which did not die with Socrates and reconstruct your dog exactly as you knew him on Earth. Your pet will know you and be able to play with you whenever you wish and then he will go. Apparently, animal caretaker specialists associated with Earth are souls who are skilled at finding and reconstructing the essence of certain lower forms of life. I think of them as creator souls who seem to have the desire and ability to maintain these forms of life for us in the spirit world because of their own love for the creatures of our planet. There can be past life karmic aspects to our associations with animals on Earth, and this could be another reason why we have animal caretaker souls. I have a client who is an intense animal rights activist, has been devoted to the alleviation of animal suffering in all her past lives since a life in Austria in the early 16th century. As a young Austrian boy in that life, my client's family was engaged in the slaughtering of cows and pigs for market, which traumatized him. Today this client calls all animals my children. During her life, and between lives, she spends her free time with them. She also melts with their energy in a place called the Space of Transformation, used to increase her perception of their consciousness. Kimo essentially told me the same thing when she said in her session, I enter this chamber, which has a field of programmed animal energy that allows me to feel what they feel. This gives me insight about animals on Earth. For both these clients, this activity represents learning as much as recreation. The Space of Transformation, during their long apprenticeship of training, souls are able to study and practice many arts. One of these areas of instruction, which I wrote about in Journey of Souls, is a sphere of soul transformation. Many souls, both young and old, can learn much from entering this enclosure between lives. The young are introduced to certain arts here that might interest them, while the older souls can hone their existing skills further. When I describe this space to people, I use an analogy of the holodeck on a spacecraft in the Star Trek television series. While there are similarities in the concept, the Space of Transformation goes much further than being a room of simulations. The Space of Transformation is not limited to permitting souls to get inside the energy of animals. Here, the soul can become any animate or inanimate object familiar to them. In order to capture the essence of all living and even non-living things on Earth, souls are able to meld with multiple substances. This would include fire, gas and liquids. They may also become totally amorphous in order to meld with a feeling or emotion to become one with that state. I have listed the Space of Transformation under recreation because the average soul begins to use this space for the sheer enjoyment of energy shape-shifting. However, many souls I have worked with prefer to engage in these exercises in actual physical settings on other worlds. This will be covered in the next chapter. As I mentioned, all these activities have the potential to go far beyond recreation for most souls. The next short case is an illustration of how the Space of Transformation tempers and strengthens the soul mind in a process of mental annealing. Case 51, Dr. N, why have you come to the Space of Transformation? S, there are periods when I am away from my soul group and I wish to experience what this room has to offer. I enter the energy screens here to absorb my energy into the strata of compassion. I am drawn to this energy stream. It is part of my soul. Dr. N, please explain this stream of energy to me. S, they are specific belts of purified energy. I blend with the one of compassion. Dr. N, who creates this particular belt for you in this space? S, I don't know. I enter and mentally concentrate on what I want and it is provided for me. As I practice, the more potent this energy gets, and the more benefit I receive. Dr. N, I don't see why it is necessary for you to come to this place to experience compassion when you can get that from going to Earth. S, yes, but you must understand that when I go to Earth and devote my energy to the healing of others, my energy loses much of its integrity by the end of my life. This is because one am inexperienced as a full-fledged healer. Drive, N. Well, if you are here for that sort of rejuvenation, why don't you give me a more precise example of what you do in the Space of Transformation? S, takes a deep breath. I can identify pain, but in order to diffuse it in the human body, I assimilate it. This eventually makes me ineffective. I become a sponge rather than a mirror of light. Here I can practice my art. S, I learn to manipulate my energy rather than absorb pain. The energy belt of compassion is like a liquid pool where I can swim and become part of the emotion in an experience which is so subjective I cannot describe it to you. It assists me in working on calmness within a sea of adversity. It is wondrous, it is alive. Listening to stories about the Space of Transformation gives me the impression the experience is euphoric. Whether these psychic pools of concentrated energy, which appear to transform souls for a time, are real or simulated from my frame of reference is moot. This is because while my clients see the spirit world as ultimate reality, they call this space one of altered reality. There is one constant criterion that helps me differentiate these concepts in my mind. Working models of reality which are temporary and will eventually die are illusory. The eternal world of the soul that analyzes and evaluates this process appears to my subjects as a permanent state of consciousness. The space of transformation is a creation for spiritual development. Dancing, music and games. There are still people in the world living in remote settings who engage in spiritual dancing and singing that is important to their cultural life. Many years ago, I was privileged to watch and participate one night in the singing and dancing of a tribe of Lu natives. These were Burmese hill people living deep in the mountains along the Burma-Thai border. I was with a small group of Westerners who were the first outsiders to be taken to see this particular isolated tribe. The trek was difficult, taking us through jungles and across mountain ranges. The experience was mystical. When my subjects describe the way they express their inner being in the spirit world through dance movements combined with music, I think of the Lu people. The Lu are animists, who believe that all natural phenomena have souls and manifest a personal spiritual force. Many societies had these beliefs in ancient times, long before the rise of major religions. My clients explain that when groups of souls engage in this form of recreation, there are elements of ritualism and a celebration of a sacred source. As with both ancient and modern cultures on Earth, souls find this form of expression to be a means of heightening intensity. These movements evoke soul memories of their origins on Earth, other worlds and the spirit world itself. Dancing and singing in unison brings a feeling of oneness with all thought. When my subjects describe the effects of this form of soul recreation, it is as if they feel suspended in the memory of spiritual bliss. They talk about how the sounds and rhythms of harps, lyres and chimes are an expression of their nature as a soul. The accounts of some clients remind me of my visit to the Lu tribe when they speak of drums, flutes and dancing in a circle around a fire. One of these subjects had this to say: "We engage in the ring dance, moving in graceful, free-flowing harmony around firelight accompanied by the humming of lilting melodies. Our energy whirls in circular, changing cadences as a shift in wind of moods. For us, this is an offering of the intense relationships we have for each other, born from a thousand lifetimes together. We come to participate in dance and song as an affirmation of our bonds and to resonate a collective wisdom." Another subject reported the following about dance movements in the spirit world. Initially, the object was apparently speed, then the dance changed to something else. "We start moving in a circle and then the pace accelerates faster and faster. We gather all this force, pushing it in front of us, until we look like a whirlwind with no space between. Now, the dance is gone, replaced by a cascading turbulence, which is a joining of our souls. As we slow down, the effects of unraveling energy are useful in observing our separation. At the end of this dance, we have experienced the intricate differences between our vibrational energy patterns." Some souls have described the scene above as the tumbleweed game. This indicates to me there is only a fine line between spiritual dancing and games, all of which have their individual interpretations. Here is another example: when we dance, we change our normal, shaped, elongated energy to that of a curved crescent which looks like a first quarter moon. We move toward each other from two or four directions, depending upon the number of participants. By shifting our shapes from concave to convex, back and forth, to match the soul opposite us, we can blend, spoon fashion, and separate with great speed. We stretch out and intertwine our energy while swaying in and out like a mating dance. Soul dancing may also become a form of acrobatics, as indicated by the next statement from a client: "My group especially enjoys acrobatics. We do not perform gymnastics in human form, as some of the others do. We retain our oval, or elongated shapes of pure energy. We set up an energy field resembling a kind of trampoline to be used for tumbling in relays. It includes a dance form which is too hard to describe, but it's all done with a great deal of laughter and fun. This movement during recreation draws us closer together. I have noticed that these activities may be combined with comedy skits." Souls who engage in these forms of entertainment love to poke fun at each other. Yet I don't hear much about souls acting in full-scale plays as pure recreation. This is because the more serious aspect of role-playing, although not lacking in humor, is so often employed during past life reviews. This is enough theater for most souls. Other recreational activities, such as art and composition, are pursued quietly and individually. The practice of music and sculpture may be pursued alone or collectively.